This is Digital Story Podcast number 553, October 11th, 2016. Today's theme is If Only One Trade Show. I'm Derek Story. Photo Plus Expo's right around the corner, October 19th through 22nd at Javits Convention Center in New York City. It combines the best U.S. expo hall for photographers, an excellent conference program, and the opportunity to photograph one of the best street shooting cities in America. And if I could only go to one show a year, Photo Plus would be it. I explain why in today's show. I've attended a half dozen Photo Plus shows over the years, and I have really enjoyed every one of them. It's that irresistible combination of place and activity. Now, sometimes I was working, and I would be in the exhibitor booth and doing all that interacting that one does when one works at Photo Plus Expo. Other years, I've been teaching. I've been on the conference staff there at Photo Plus. Some years I'm just reporting there as a freelancer. And regardless of what I'm doing, I'm always exploring and I'm always interacting. It's just the kind of place that it is. This year is what we call Photokina year at Photo Plus. And what do I mean by that? Well, Photokina is every other year. And so it is a month right before the Photo Plus Expo. So a lot of folks feel that Photokina steals a lot of the thunder that may have happened in New York in October. Now, I don't necessarily feel that way because there's another way to look at this, in that all the announcements were made at Photokina and there's a lot of stuff to be excited about. And then Photo Plus is your opportunity to actually see it, to actually put your hands on it. After you've had some time to process, absorb, maybe do a little research and all that kind of stuff. So in that sense, I think it's really cool. And I like Photokina years because a lot of manufacturers really rev up to get stuff ready for Photokina. And then when they get to Photo Plus Expo, they really want to make another impression with it. You know, it's been out and they've had a chance to fine tune their message. Maybe they only had, you know, non-working demos in Germany and now they've got something that functions. All this kind of stuff. So I think Photokina years are actually quite good at Photo Plus Expo. And I would not rule out going to the conference because it is a Photokina year. Now, that being said, here I'm going to tell you all this cool stuff about Photo Plus Expo. And then I'm also going to tell you that I don't get to go every year. And a lot of times for me, it depends on, you know, am I working for somebody? So it's an East Coast show and I'm way out here in California. So the whole thing of flying to New York City, and those of you that are on the East Coast know this, you know, when you think about my workshops, that, you know, it's a big deal. So flying to New York City. And then there's the whole thing of finding a place to flop, right? Where are you going to stay? And so if I'm going without working, if I don't have someone hiring me to do stuff there, it's a very expensive show. Whereas if I were in the greater New York area or really anywhere there on the East Coast, literally it could be a train ride into the show, spend the whole day at the show, and then take the train back home. And if I were in that situation, I would go every year. I would go every year if I were in that situation. So anyway, why am I so excited about it? Why do I like this show so much? Well, let's go over, guess what, five reasons why I think Photo Plus Expo should be on your radar too. Okay? Now it's coming up. There's still time to go. It's October 19 through 22. All right? And especially if you're on the East Coast, we're really just talking about a train ride to the best U.S. photography show. Number one, it's in New York. And especially for those of us that are not in the greater New York area all the time, it is a treat to go to Manhattan. It is a treat to be living in Midtown as a photographer. I just step out my door and I have all sorts of choices for something to eat. I have all sorts of choices for something to photograph. And I can go out any time of day or night that I want. And I just think that that is really cool. Now, living out here on the West Coast, we tend to roll up the sidewalks around 10 o'clock at night. And there's really not much going on after 10, where that is not the case when you're in Midtown. So, you know, it's a very exciting place to be. It's a great place for street photography. It's a great place for food. And then on top of all of that, if all that wasn't good enough, if living in New York City or hanging out in New York City isn't good enough for a day or two or a week, depending on how long you're there, then you can make that pilgrimage to B&H Photo, which is literally walking distance from Jacob Javits Center, if the weather is nice. So there's something about that. Now, again, those of you that reside on the East Coast, it's not as big a deal, right? The New York thing probably isn't as big a deal. You get to go there all the time, like I get to go to San Francisco all the time. But if you're not in that area, I definitely think that having this show in New York City is just a wonderful combination. Next reason, it's a terrific expo hall. It really is. Now, it's not nearly as big as Photokina. They have about 225 or so exhibitors. They tend to be top quality. And so it has a feeling of intimacy, yet there is a lot of stuff to do. And it takes me, maybe three tours through the expo hall before I really feel like I've had a chance to experience everything that I want to experience. And Canon and Nikon and Olympus and all of those, they do a great job there. They really set up good exhibits there. They're very interactive. They have lots of equipment for you to take a look at, all that good stuff. It is a good expo hall. It really is. And there have been years when I have gone only to the expo hall and didn't do any conferences at all, although I really like the conference program too. We'll talk about that in a second. Number three, meet other photographers. Not too many places you get to go where you're going to see a bigger crowd of enthusiast photographers that really understand what's going on, than you will at Photo Plus Expo. And I really noticed this as an exhibitor the years that I was there for Low Pro and CT and Rocky Nook, that the conversations were just at a higher level. And I really enjoyed it. And the after-hour get-togethers and the activities, again, you're hanging out with people who are as passionate about this as you. And I just like being around other photographers. We spend so much time online, and we don't get very much FaceTime these days. There aren't as many camera clubs and things like that. And Photo Plus Expo is an opportunity really to be around a whole bunch of photographers, see a whole lot of cool cameras hanging off people's necks, see what camera bags they're carrying, talk to them while you're waiting in line for your sandwich, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just a blast. It's really good stuff. Next, solid conference program. Really is a good conference program. I think one of the best. They have over 100 seminars. They have photo walks, they have master classes, they have one-day intensives, and of course there are the keynote presentations. And so if there's a photographer, you know, a name photographer, that you've wanted to see in person, chances are good that he or she will be speaking at Photo Plus. Chances are very good. It's a great place to see the people that we read about all the time. And the program is very good, and there's a lot of variety, and the program facility is nice. I like conference days, whether I'm teaching or attending. You know, you're down on that lower floor in Javits Center, and, you know, down there they have the eating facilities, and, you know, you always kind of stake out what you're going to have for lunch. That's kind of nice. And that, by the way, that's another really cool hangout spot to meet other photographers. A lot of times, in all honesty, I'll just go over to a table where there's a couple open seats and, you know, say, hey, is it all right if I sit here? And then just hang out. And if the conversation's interesting, I'll jump in. And I've met some really, really good folks doing that. And that was during conference day. I'm already down there I'm in between classes. I go grab a bite to eat. There are people sitting around the table. They're doing the same thing. You know, you can ask about other classes coming up. Hey, is anyone going to that lighting class? Oh, really? If you are, you know, what do you think? Would you do that or this? Or what did you see this morning? And, you know, how was it? You know, and all that kind of stuff. It's easy conversation and it's good stuff. And you're just sort of in this whole conference flow. And then I always come away with stuff. You know, every class, I learn one or two things. And over the course of the day, I come away with five or six things. And it's nice to, you know, brush up. It's nice to hear and see what other photographers are doing. Photographers that you read about, photographers that you see online. And you get to be right there. And you get to ask them questions and you get to see their shots. So conference program is top drawer. I really enjoy it. When I'm going as press, I have access, so I get to go to all the stuff. And obviously when I'm teaching, I do too. Good stuff. And if you have the time and the finances, I highly recommend participating in their conference program. Now, the last one is Great Floor Demos. And I bring this up because if you don't have a whole lot of money, but there is a way that you can get to the show, go to the expo hall and check out, you know, your first time through, go and scope out who's going to be speaking and when. All the big booths like Canon and Nikon, they'll post a schedule of who's speaking and at what time. And literally, you can map out your own mini conference program just by doing that. Going there in the morning, scoping out who's talking when, map out your day, and then go see a bunch of great talks. The floor demos and the floor talks are very good. Now, they're shorter than the classes. A lot of times, they're about 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour. You know, they're more condensed. They don't cover as much, but they're good. And in some ways, you get more variety because you can go to four, five, six of these things over the course of a day and really, you know, get a great variety of stuff. So I recommend that highly. Now, here's the thing about it. You can get an expo hall pass for $20. If you pre-order right now, and I think between now and the 18th or something like that, if you go online and register at the Photo Plus Expo site, you can get the exhibit hall pass for $20. That gets you in there for all the things that are going on, you know, all the exhibits, plus all the floor demos and all the people that are speaking. And you can spend easily one full day doing this between interacting with everyone in the booths and, you know, mapping out the talks that you want to see, you know, hanging out at lunch, maybe doing something in the evening. You know, there's always events going on in the evening. You can easily spend a whole day and then, you know, catch a ride back home that night. So, and it costs you $20 plus your lunch and transportation. I mean, how can you miss for that? I mean, how, if you were within striking distance at all of this thing, and it costs you a $20 bill to go and spend a whole day, you know, playing with photography equipment and seeing great photographers, who wouldn't do that? Who wouldn't do that? And if you can go, let me know. Let me know. You can either post a comment on our Facebook page, because I always, you know, put the podcast notification on there. Post a comment there. You can send me email, whatever. And you can do a little scouting. And then that way, you know, we can talk about, you know, some of the cool things that were on the floor there. So if you want to do that, post a comment on our Facebook page when I put this podcast up, or just send me an email directly. As I said at the top of the show, if I could only go to one trade show a year, this would definitely be it. All right, in the news, the cameras you all really want are only going to get more expensive. This post was on the Photographer, but it mirrors something that I've been seeing in other places too. And the bottom line is that state-of-the-art photography gear, prices are going up. They're going up for all sorts of reasons, some economic reasons, some shifting in the market reasons, some of the challenges that have been going on within Japan, especially with natural events. All sorts of stuff are driving up the prices of photo gear. And if you're one of those people that always buy new and always buy state of the art, you're going to pay more the balance of this year, and you're probably going to pay more in 2017. I just think it's interesting because this is happening at the same time when I think, you know, digital gear has leveled off a bit. I mean, there was a time when a new camera came out, a new model. If you were keeping up, you pretty much had to get it because it was far superior than last year's model. And those were in the early years of digital photography. But now the cameras are really good, and the cameras from a year ago are really good, and the cameras from 2 years ago are really good. And you don't necessarily have to upgrade your camera every year. So we're in the situation where we can get more use out of our existing equipment at the same time that prices are going up for new equipment. And in all honesty, I don't think it's a great recipe for the camera manufacturers themselves. Although as a consumer, as a user, I'm happy that I don't have to go out and buy the latest and greatest, and that I can use my existing cameras. I mean, the three digital cameras that I use most right now are the OMD EM5 Mark II, which has been out for a while, OMD EM10 Mark II, and the Canon 5D Mark II, which has been out for a long time and still doing quite well. So I wasn't able to afford the Pen F when it came out, although I love that camera. I just think it's really cool. And if I had the disposable income, I would certainly get it. And this is another argument that I've been using on the analog story, that the rising cost of digital equipment makes the analog gear look even more appealing, because you can get terrific full-frame lenses and you can adapt them to your digital gear and help fill in the gaps. And they're fun to shoot with, and they're really good. All that as backstory, I thought it was interesting the angle that Photographer took here, and I'm just going to read you two paragraphs from this post, because it's different than what I had been hearing and what I'm talking about right now. So let's take a look at their angle about prices going up. If you've noticed something about the price points of cameras, you'll realize that they're only becoming more and more expensive. That's because a number of factors, including the slow crush of most point-and-shoots from phones and exactly what they're capable of doing. Add on to that fact that the prosumer market is growing and willing to spend a lot more money to get the image quality they want, and you'll now get what we wanted in some ways or another. The camera and high-end photography industry is now something only available to the rich and those who truly want to spend money to create something inspired by their creative passion. So that's different than what I was thinking and that what I had thought. What the photographer is arguing is that the enthusiast market is growing, there's more money there, and people are willing to pay more, and that's driving up the prices. At the same time, the phones are definitely having an effect on the camera industry. So then it goes on, at the same time, many of you know exactly what lots of us have known for a while now. Cameras are so good that you can pretty much use anything out there and get the image that you want. It makes sense when like four companies make all the sensors. What you eventually end up paying for then are more features, horsepower in the hood, and far better image quality potential that will force you to make a more careful decision. For example, how many of you really need a 42 megapixel sensor in your camera? What about 24 megapixels? Or what about 16 megapixels? Do you really need more revamped autofocus, or will you be all right with focusing and recomposing? We all love talking about gear, but sometimes it truly isn't necessary. And okay, so that's a little bit more the side that I'm on, and that I essentially shoot the same way regardless of the camera that I have. In other words, focusing, let's take focusing because he mentioned focusing here. I tend to use the center sensor, focus, and recompose. Most of the time for what I'm shooting, that works just fine. I have plenty of time to do that. And I don't need the whole viewfinder covered in cross of focusing sensors. But yet, that's, you know, the direction that we're seeing. We're seeing, you know, better and better and wider autofocusing that's more accurate. So if that's a premium that's driving up the cost of the cameras, it's not really something that I need. He brought up sensors. In an online world where a lot of our stuff is published online, shared online, obviously you don't need even a 24 megapixel sensor for that. You need the bigger sensors for the bigger jobs, for big prints, for if you have to crop a lot out of the image, things like that. That's when you need a bigger sensor, but you don't need it all the time. And you certainly don't need it for even 11 by 14 prints on down. You don't need it for online work, and you don't need it if you're not doing a lot of heavy cropping. So again, 16 megapixel sensor or 20 megapixel sensor seems pretty all right to me. And I've gone to places like Cuba with only a 16 megapixel sensor, and I've yet to regret it. So, you know, there we go. We're fine. Not to mention the technology is really good. And if you have a great 16 megapixel shot, you can sample up. You know that, right? You can sample up, and it's really quite good, especially if you know how to do it. I'm bringing this up in part because we're talking about Photo Plus, and we're talking about Photokina, and we're talking about the time of year where there have been a lot of announcements, and there's a lot of tempting things going on. And I just wanted to temper that with, if you see something you like and you see something that you need, great. And you have the budget for it, fantastic. But if you don't have the budget for it, don't worry about it, because chances are the tools that you're using right now are really super good, and the prices on this stuff are getting more and more expensive. So why not wait until there's something that you really need, really want, and spend your money on that, and then sit with that for another couple years? The way that I'm scratching my adding gear and not breaking my budget is, you know, through analog photography, where I can get a fantastic SLR with lens for less than $100. Just something to think about. Main thing I want you to be aware of, that this is happening in the marketplace. One of my listeners responded to one of my tweets and talked about the price increase from the A6000, the Sony A6000, up to the current model, and how steep it had been from the beginning. He was right. It really has gone up, and we're seeing that over and over again. Gear is expensive. And make good choices and manage your money well. And remember that the real thing is to go out and take pictures. Speaking of taking pictures, I found this cool article called 52 Photography Projects, a Photo Idea to Try Every Week of the Year. Neat, huh? And they have 52 projects, and I looked at every one of them, and they're legit. They're really cool. So what my thinking was, okay, as we're thinking about what we're going to do in 2017, you know, I was touching on that last week, and, you know, what to do in the off season, what to do at the beginning of the year, all that. I was thinking, boy, you know, taking a look at this list of 52 projects is a great idea. You know, this is really kind of neat, because you can start thinking and planning for some of these, and especially if you do run into some off season. Right? Some of these you can do indoors. Many of these you can do indoors. You don't even have to go outside. So what I've done is I've picked five of them. I'm going to share with you right now. Five from the list of 52. Now I have the link to the article, just like I have the link to all the articles I talk about in the show notes. So you can go there and click on it, and you can see all 52. And I highly recommend that you do it, because there's some really good stuff in there. But I'm going to give you five. I'm just going to give you a sample right now to wet your palate. Okay, first one, water drop art. And this is an indoor thing that you can do. The basic idea is to suspend a container of liquid and let drops fall through a small hole into bowl or bucket or pool of water, and then record the resulting splash. And you use, you know, fast shutter speed, you can use fast flash, you know, they get into all that sort of details. But these shots are neat. They're really neat. They're very interesting. We've all seen them. And have you ever made one yourself? You can do it on a Saturday afternoon. You can do it. And you say, this is my photo project for this week. I'm going to do something completely new. I'm going to create a water drop art image. Next one, minimalist mono landscapes. So instead of cramming an entire view into a single frame, shoot a series of minimalist long exposure landscapes indeed. You know, and so you take something, let's say you go out to the seashore if you live near the coast and it's overcast and chilly, and there's just one object in the scene, and then everything else is either like sand or water or sky. And you just shoot this very minimalist composition, and then you do it in black and white on top of that. And then you do a series of these. So let's say you do a series of 6 or 12, and then you make prints of them. And just something completely different, something that you wouldn't normally do. Very interesting. It'd be very interesting to hear what your friends thought of it too when you showed them the pictures. Here's another one. Time-lapse photo. How many of us have time to fit time-lapse photography into our daily routine? Force yourself to try this addictive technique by making it one of your photo projects for 2017. Say, I'm going to find a cool spot or a cool subject, and I'm going to set up time-lapse for it, and I'm going to spend a half a day, whatever, you know, working on this time-lapse or create a number of time-lapses. And then I have something to play with when I come back home, because you can manipulate these and play with them on your computer and then create something really neat. And then you put it on your Facebook page. You can show it to other people. You can do all sorts of stuff with it and say, you know, I've wanted to do a time lapse for a long time, never got around to it, but it's my project for this week as part of my 52 projects for 2017. This next one I have never heard of, but I just love it. I just love it. I've never heard of this one. It's called the 50 by 50 by 50 project. The 50 by 50 by 50. Can you guess what that is? All right, here we go. You take 50 pictures in 50 days with nothing more than a 50 millimeter lens. Isn't that cool? So you pull out that 50 millimeter lens and you say, for 50 days, I'm going to do one picture a day with this lens and this camera. And then you put them all together. And you can say, I'm doing 50 by 50 by 50 and run them on Instagram, or you can do them on Flickr, or you can just hang on to them all, share them later on some other way. You can do what I'm going to say is the next project to consider with it. There's all sorts of stuff, but I love it, the 50 by 50 by 50. Most photographers will tell you when they force themselves just to use the 50, they feel like they become better shooters. There's a way that this makes you better, okay? So that's the 50 by 50 by 50. Last one, self-publish a photo book. When's the last time you did a photo book? Now, what if you did a photo book of something really cool like the 50 by 50 by 50 project, or of water drop art, or minimalist mono landscapes? So you can combine this with other projects. And you know, then it's the proof that you did it. You can have it on the coffee table and you can share it with people. So photo books, another excellent idea. So there are 52 of these. I just picked 5 of them in this article. And it's called 52 Photography Projects, a Photo Idea to Try Every Week of the Year. I have the link in the show notes. Check it out. I think it's really cool. Got a few updates here. First of all, big thanks to our Patreon members. I want to let you guys know, those of you that are in our inner circle, that I was able to pay for the podcast server and the backup system for last month with the pledges from you. So you kept the lights on last month. Big thanks to our Patreon members. You're really helping. I mean, your contribution is making a difference. And I want to encourage those of you that have been thinking about doing it to please go ahead and do it, because it allows me to do more. I have so many things that I want to do that I could do. That monthly income that comes from Patreon, that goes right back into the show, and that allows me to keep the show going and to push it forward. All right, so big thumbs up to you guys and gals. Really appreciate it. And the new folks that signed up just recently, welcome aboard. I'm thrilled to have you here. I mentioned last week that we're working on the 2017 workshop season. Had a meeting with Leah the other day. You know, she's been doing some research for me. And I'm really excited. I got another meeting with her this week, and then we're going to be really close to nailing this down. So stay tuned. Good looking season for next year, and a great chance to hang out and shoot with me and to shoot with some of the other members of our virtual camera club. Those that have done it will tell you that it is worth it. It is such a great experience. That's why we have so many repeat customers, because, you know, every year it becomes this something special that you do just for yourself and for your art, for your photography. I want to mention the B&H and Amazon tiles on the digitalstory.com. And if you're going to do some shopping, we've talked about, you know, this throughout the show. And if you do decide to pull the trigger on something, it's time and you can afford it. Then if you're going to go to B&H or if you're going to go to Amazon anyway, if you go to our site first, thedigitalstory.com, click on that tile, either the Amazon tile or the B&H tile, and then do your shopping, do your searching. Help support the site, and I really appreciate it. And finally, a big tip of our hat to our friends at Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. I was working on a table of contents for lynda.com today for a new title that I really want to do, and I think they're going to let me do it. You know, you always have to wait and see, and I don't want to jinx it. One of the aspects of it that I'm excited about are images that start out as film images, as analog images, and then, you know, they're scanned and they go into our photo management system. But then when it's time to make prints, you don't have to go into the dark room. You can actually use your inkjet printer and use some of this fantastic high quality fiber-based paper that you can get from Red River Paper and make something that is really beautiful without ever having to set up a dark room. You know, you never have to set up a dark room, yet you can make the kind of prints that just make people's eyes fall out of their head. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we can do with what Red River Paper is doing, with what Canon and Epson are doing on the printer side. We can use these tools to produce art that make us happy and make other people happy when we share it with them. And remember, we're coming into the time of year where sharing your art really makes a lot of sense. And now's a good time to make sure you have the supplies on hand so that you can make a print, so you can make a fine art card, so you can make something beautiful to give to somebody that they can hang on their wall. And you can get all that stuff over at Red River Paper. They have a tile and all the pages of the Digital Story. Make sure you go over there, go to our landing page, shop around, get your supplies now, and be ready to go when it's time to start making beautiful stuff for other people. All right, well, that is going to do it for me. Great to be here, as always. Come back here next week. I got lots more to talk about. Very exciting time of year in photography, and I love having you here to share it with. Until next week, bye-bye now.